We've been going the last 3 weeks, including today, in the Gospel of John chapter 6. 2 weeks ago, it was picking up just after the miracle that appears in all four Gospels. Well, there are two that appear in all four Gospels, one being the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, we always say. That's 5,000 men, which means it was easily over 10,000 people. That Jesus fed with five loaves of bread and two fish. That's in all four Gospels. We were tracking in the Gospel of John just after that, a couple of weeks ago, about following Jesus. In fact, it was in Mark's Gospel, but the same account, where we saw Jesus up on the mountainside praying. Then we saw him walking on the water to catch up with his disciples who were out on the lake, on the Sea of Galilee. And then we saw him meeting the crowd again on the other side because the crowds tracked him down and they sought him out and followed him. Well, today, continuing in this amazing teaching and preaching from Jesus in John chapter 6, before I read that, a few comments or questions here. And I'm wondering as we go into God's Word together this morning, if I might need to spoon feed this to some of you. Spoon feed, or give you maybe, hopefully, something to sink your teeth into. Hopefully, for all of us, what we hear from God's Word today will be food for thought, as well as something for you to digest and hopefully prayerfully chew on throughout the rest of this day. Are you picking up these metaphors here? Yes, please continue with some more. In the prophet Jeremiah, book of Jeremiah, chapter 15, the prophet named Jeremiah says to the Lord, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, and for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. I ate your words," the prophet said. John chapter 6, I'm going to start with the very same verse that I left off or ended with last Sunday. Actually, I take that back. I'm going to read a couple verses that lead up to this because I'm going to touch on them, but officially we're starting in verse 35 through verse 51. First, going back to John 6 verse 14, this is right after they were gathering the leftovers from feeding over 5,000 people with five barley loaves and a couple fish. Verse 14 in John 6 says, "After the people," this huge crowd of thousands, "after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, 'Surely this is the prophet," capital P, "the prophet who is to come into the world.' Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself." I'm going to jump all the way to verse 26. This is when the crowd catches up to Jesus on the opposite side of the lake. He said to them, "Very truly," that's in Greek, "amen, amen. Amen, amen, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Now, I'm going to go back to verse 35 and read straight through to verse 51. "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day.' At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, there's Amen, Amen again. Amen, Amen, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us hunger for you today, a hunger that is only satisfied through your word and by your Son Jesus. And when it is satisfied forever, enduring unto eternal life in and through and by Jesus Christ. Give us this bread today, Lord. May we eat and digest. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, looked at following Jesus from the mountainside, across the sea, and to the opposite shore. Last Sunday, looked at listening to Jesus, listening as the crowds here were apparently not doing very well. Today, in this text, looking at coming to Jesus in three ways. First, coming as this crowd did to Jesus, which is always the right thing to do, and yet they weren't doing it for the right reasons. It's like, I don't want to exactly say coming to Jesus for the wrong reasons, although that's basically saying the same thing. I want to really say coming not for the right reasons. Coming to Jesus, but not for the right reasons. So, this crowd in John 6, they tracked him down as Jesus had said to them in verse 26, Amen, amen. Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed that was the day before, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. In other words, you're coming because now it's a day later and your tummy's grumbling again and that bread was really good. And yes, Jesus, we would like another free lunch. Miraculous and free. Now, who of us doesn't like a free lunch with really good food? I mean, I'm all for that. And they're tracking him down and he's saying, that's why you came. You saw the sign yesterday. In fact, again, verse 14, it says, after the people saw the sign, which is the miraculous feeding of all the thousands with this bread, after they saw the sign, they began to say, surely this is the prophet. Jesus saying, you saw the sign, and yet you completely missed the sign. You saw it. So a sign in and of itself is just a sign. We don't go to a sign for the sign's sake. The sign was the feeding with this bread. He said, you saw that, and that's what you want. You just want more of the sign. But what does a sign do? A sign points to something else, to something, in this case, much, much greater. He's saying, you just want another free lunch. You should come to me wanting something so much more than a free lunch. You saw the sign, and yet you missed the sign. In other places in the Gospels, Jesus would quote from the prophet Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 6, it says in a prophecy that the people, God's people, will be ever hearing but not understanding. Ever hearing but not understanding. Ever seeing. You saw the sign. Ever seeing but not perceiving. What is this sign about? What are we supposed to see or get? Another reason they came to Jesus, they wanted that free lunch, not the right reason. again, I like a free lunch, but there's something so much more they're missing. They're way short. Also, they still probably wanted to make him their king by force. Again, jumping back to verse 15, right after the miraculous feeding, it says, they saw the sign Jesus performed. They began to say, surely this is the prophet, capital P, who is to come into the world, verse 15. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come to Jesus, and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. And we know from Mark's gospel, he went to that mountain to pray. They wanted to make him king by force. Now think about that. Is that how someone becomes king? That the people force him to be king? That kind of doesn't really make sense, does it? Let's go get him and force him to be our king. Now, right there in the language, who has the power? The king or those with the force? The people. Now, if we force you, make you to be king, that means now we have power. We want you, O king, to do our bidding. Now, if I could, again, human nature, this is probably something we'd all like. We'd all want a leader. Yes, there's an election coming up. A leader who would do, well, first I would say, who does everything I want them to do. I would like that. That just probably resonates with everybody's heart. I want a leader who will do everything I want them to do. We get back to a king, though. A king. Who is supposed to do, botch these words, who's supposed to follow the commands of the other? Is the king supposed to follow the commands of the people? Or are the people supposed to, yes, follow the commands, be subject to the king? That's how it works. They missed everything. I mean, they did catch something with, surely this is the prophet. What they're talking about is Moses, 1,500 years earlier. Moses had said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, we read it, he said to the people, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like myself. And then Moses said, you must listen to him. We hear the word prophet, and I think many of us often jump right to, what is a prophet? Someone who sees and foretells and knows the what? The future. We like to jump to that. That is, there's truth in that. That's true in the Bible. God revealed future events, future things to the prophets who then knew and then proclaimed them. But prophet is not always or even necessarily about the future. A prophet is merely a voice piece of God. God speaks to and through a prophet to his people. And often, as we read in the prophets in the Old Testament and into the New, those words are often words of judgment because of their sin. And yes, some of that judgment came in the future. Some came immediately, some came later. But it's really God just speaking to his people through a prophet. So when Moses said, God will raise up another prophet, a prophet like me, you must listen to him. Why? Because when you listen to the prophet, you're not hearing the prophet, you're hearing who? God. Listen to him. And here the people said with Jesus, surely this is that prophet, the prophet that Moses talked about. And they were right. But Moses had said, when that prophet is brought forth, you must listen to him. Had they been listening? Not well. They also said, we know we received the manna. Our ancestors had received that manna through Moses. It sustained for 40 years in the wilderness. Surely now, with this miracle, this prophet will do the same. He'll give us this free bread every day as often as we want. Well, if we go back to Deuteronomy again, Deuteronomy chapter 8, which Jesus quotes when he's tempted by the devil. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, the Lord provided manna for his people to humble them. He humbled his people so they would hunger. Then he did feed them, but it said, man does not live by bread, by manna alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So even the manna was a sign. It wasn't an end unto itself. It was to sustain them physically, which it did, but it was to point to the provider who they were to listen to and be humbled before him and receive through faith. Well, one more, and this is maybe even more significant. They all go together. But a not right reason for coming to Jesus means you're just missing the true right reason. So they came wanting bread, free lunch. They came wanting a king, a ruler, who, again, this would have been in their day, someone not only giving them free food, free lunches, and good bread, but they saw Jesus, they thought he might be the one. He could be the one to overthrow Rome, to kick the Romans out, reestablish the nation of Israel, set up that throne, you know, like glory days with King David all over again. They wanted all of that. But what did they not want? They did not want their hearts to be changed. We say just as I am in that song, but when we're singing that, we're talking about singing, coming to Jesus in order to be changed. They were coming saying, don't get inside of us. Don't touch our hearts. Don't touch our sin. That's not what we want. We want to be just as we are now, plus the free lunch and kick out Rome and have things the way we want them to be. Come to Jesus. We're not coming to you in this context in John 6 so that you will get inside and touch our sins. No, leave those alone. Let's not talk about that. In other words, we want all the benefits, all the blessing, and I want to keep my sin as well. Does this work? No. Why did Jesus ultimately come? To give people free lunch? To do what we want him to do? No. Still goes on today. I mean, it still goes on in our hearts. We want to mold Jesus in our own image to be this king that we want him to be. He's a king who came to go to the cross. He came to change us because we needed to be changed and we need to be changed. He came to get inside of us and change us from the inside out, meaning every sin, all of it needs to be cleansed and forgiven and gotten rid of. And we can't do that. Because if any shadow of any sin remains on our hearts, in our souls, we're condemned. We're lost forever without one plea. We need him to transform us completely from the inside out, which is why he came. He took all of our sins on the cross, paid for them, it is finished, to atone for, forgive, cleanse. But that's not why this crowd was coming. They weren't like, oh, we got to go across the lake, find him again so that he can. No, they wanted the bread, you know. So those are not the right reasons to come to Jesus. Let's talk about some right reasons. As we look at this text in John 6, coming to Jesus, with his own words here, come to him to eat the true bread of life from heaven. Not a good barley loaf piece for a meal. To eat the true bread of life. Jesus says more than once in this text, I am the bread of life. Three parts to this second part here. In this text, in this talk today about this, eating, as Jesus is talking about it, is believing. Not seeing is believing, they saw. Eating, as Jesus is describing it, is believing. I'm going to read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. I believe I read these same verses last Sunday. This is the Lord speaking in Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, hear this, come. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good. And you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Come, listen, eat, says the Lord. Eating is believing. Eating, in this sense, is also listening. In other words, taking in God's word and eating, as Jeremiah said it. Romans 10:17 again says, faith, that is believing in Jesus, believing the gospel, comes through hearing. And hearing through the message or the word of Jesus Christ. Hearing, listening, believing is eating. And I think back to the crowd, and I think on the day before, meaning when they're receiving this miraculous bread, if they had been close enough, if they had visual contact with Jesus when this occurred, I'm wondering if there's any of them in the crowd that really followed Jesus' actions and saw something maybe of his heart. What I mean is, before Jesus gave this bread to his disciples to give to all these thousands of people, it says Jesus took the bread and gave thanks. Gave thanks. And not in John, but in Matthew, it says when Jesus gave thanks, he has this bread, he looked up to heaven and gave thanks. And then, yes, he would have broken it piece to piece to piece to the disciples, and the pieces just kept going. If there was anyone in the crowd who saw that and saw, you know, a glimmer of the sign, okay, what is this? Obviously, thanking God, right? But there's something more going on here. And then 5 loaves to everybody. This isn't about just simply having a piece of bread today, is it? And I'm thinking, if you had that bread, I'm thinking of looking at Jesus, and with each bite, oh, just seeing the sign, which means seeing Jesus. There's something else going on here. Something else going on. Eating is believing. Believing is receiving. Believing is receiving. Last Sunday, we had communion after our worship service time together. If these servers, so we always have 2 people who help distribute, first the tray with the wafers, the bread, and then the cups with the juice, the wine, Jesus' body, Jesus' blood. What if the servers, as they come to the end of the pew, they could look down the pew and see everyone's heart, meaning they could actually look right into your soul. And they could see whether you believe or not. If they could, which they cannot, neither can I, neither can you. If they could, I would instruct the servers to not serve anyone who doesn't believe. If they don't believe in Jesus, do not serve them. Why do I say that? Because of what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 through 29, the Apostle Paul writes, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." That is why. If someone does not believe in Jesus, meaning as we say on Communion Sunday, you know he's the Son of God who came in human flesh in order to live a holy, perfect, sinless, righteous life, which he did, fulfilling God the Father's commands, will, and word perfectly so that he could go to the cross as the one perfect, holy, sinless sacrifice to atone for the sins of the world for all who would believe, and that he rose again on the 3rd day, never to die or suffer again, and will one day return in glory. I don't say all of that, but the gist of that on Communion Sunday. That is what to believe in Jesus. Again, someone who doesn't believe that. Paul says it's actually harmful. It's spiritually sinful. It's wrong. It's bad. It's bringing judgment on themselves if they eat and drink without discerning, and that is recognizing, that is realizing, knowing this is Jesus' body and blood. That's why I say that. Those who do believe, receive. Now, it looks a little wafer. It is bread. Those who believe, are you receiving just a little wafer? You're receiving the very body of Jesus Christ. Little cup of juice, you're receiving the very blood of Jesus Christ. Receiving, the third part here, eating is believing is receiving, and receiving is assimilating. It's fully absorbing Jesus into you, into every part of your being. You know what happens if we take two steps back and just look at a piece of bread or a wafer? When you put it in your mouth, you chew it, starts to dissolve and break down, and you swallow. Then what happens to all those molecules of the wafer, of the bread? It starts to spread. Eventually, it gets absorbed and right into your bloodstream and throughout your whole body. It becomes part of you. Same with what you drink. It's assimilated. I love the word communion, but even phonetically, if we break it apart, if you will, the first part is come. Come to Jesus. Come unto him. Second word, union. Come and union. We come to Jesus and we find perfect union with him and him with and in us and with one another in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul writes, and I read this at each communion service, he says, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. It's all in there. The union participation with Jesus' body, with Jesus' blood, for each of us who receive and believe, but also us as the body of Christ here and now, in this union with him, because we all partake of that one loaf of bread. After communion last Sunday, we have the open share time. It's like a family time. I love that time. And Joanne Swenson mentioned a pastor some years back who had shared on Communion Sunday this illustration of receiving the blood of Christ by means of IV, meaning his blood directly infused into ours. And that is exactly what happens, although not by IV, but it gives that image. It goes in a way that we don't often think of when we just eat it, but you think of IV, oh, that's right into the bloodstream. That goes right through my whole body. And then these words that I get to say after we have communion on a communion Sunday. We've eaten his body. We've had the cup and drank together the blood of Christ. And I say, our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Come to Jesus to eat the true bread of life from heaven. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And third and final for today, come to Jesus to learn. This is through the listening, to really listen what he's saying. And in this text, it's interesting. And actually, whenever Jesus spoke and when we hear his word, We're hearing the Father. We're learning from the Father through the Son, and we're learning from the Son about the Father. Everything Jesus did and said revealed God the Father to us. I'm going to reread verses 45 to 51 and then come back to a few things as we close. Jesus said, "It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, amen, amen. I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus came to fulfill the Father's will. Verse 38, just a few verses earlier, he said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." That refrain we find throughout the Gospels. Earlier in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, Jesus combines both the food and his Father's will when he said, "My food," Jesus' food, "is to do the will of my Father who sent me." I love that. What sustained Jesus in his life? Doing his Father's will. "That's my food," he said. We learn about the Son, Jesus, accomplishing, fulfilling his Father's will when we come to Jesus and he reveals the Father and his Father's will. All through Jesus the Son. We also learn from the Father through the Son about his kingdom. Again, everything Jesus did, said, taught, revealed God's kingdom for those who had ears to hear and eyes to see. Multiple times in this one text, verse 39, verse 40, verse 44, there's this refrain. Verse 39, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Again, verse 40, Jesus says, "I will raise them up, those who believe in me, at the last day." Verse 44, "No one has come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." He said this three times in just a matter of a few verses. If people were listening, he will raise them up at the last day. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, meaning he is the only one who has been bodily, completely resurrected from the dead, never to suffer or die again. First fruits, meaning the harvest yet to come. All who believe in him will be raised up like Jesus was from the grave, by him, never to die or suffer the effects of sin ever, ever again. The last day. Yes, it is when Jesus comes, raises the living, or raises the dead, I should say, to be living in him. So the kingdom of God is made up of believers and will be made up of raised believers. Raised. The last day. We come to Jesus to learn. There's much more to learn about these, by the way. From Jesus about the Father and about being his child. God the Father's child. Do you know, if you believe in Jesus Christ, which I hope is true for every single one of us here today, you're a child of God. God, who created all things seen and unseen, is your heavenly Father, through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. In this text, Jesus says the name Father 6 times. He refers to him more than that. In fact, everything again he's saying is really revealing and about and from the Father. What does the Father do? Verse 44 again, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." If you've come to Jesus in the right ways, meaning to hear, to believe, to eat, receive, do you know you didn't come on your own strength, or even if you think I have decided or I did it, wasn't on your own. You were drawn by the Father. Jesus said, anyone who comes to me is drawn by the Father. God the Father has drawn you to come to Jesus and to eat and believe and receive. And why? To come to Jesus again for a free lunch today, to be the king I want you to be, to make me happy, blah, blah, you know. No. When you're drawn by the Father, you come for the right reason to Jesus. That is to eat the bread of life, which came down from heaven, to believe in him and receive him, assimilated, absorbed into your entire being, to be transformed by Jesus from the inside out, sins eradicated, new life from and in Christ. You come to Jesus to be changed. Humbly, Jesus, forgive me again. To be changed, transformed, sanctified, forgiven, saved, set free. And, yes, to one day, on that day, the last day, to be raised by Jesus in his power, to be with him in the Father's house forever. Heavenly Father, there's so much more here. Thank you for your word and your words of life. And thank you for the living word, Jesus, your Son, our Savior, our Lord. Father, may your Holy Spirit continue to help us chew on and absorb and digest your word today unto everlasting life. Jesus, thank you. In your name, amen.